Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. The
score! This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station. Mike Florio.
Let's bring in Mike Florio here. Joins us on the program.
NBC Sports.
All right, Florio, I know you're probably busy.
Pro Football Talk.
Starts the day, he ends the day with Pro Football Talk. He is Mike Florio.
We have learned that an unvaccinated Aaron Rodgers has tested positive for COVID. Your thoughts?
Well, you know what? He's a big, fat liar.
I wouldn't listen to some of those people out there, especially guys like Mike Florio.
Go to hell with your big brain. Ladies and gentlemen, Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio with Bernstein and Holmes.
How are you, Mike?
On The Score.
Boy, he's busy today. He is doing yeoman's work watching these House Reform Committee hearings and now an apparent subpoena that is looming for Daniel Snyder. So I think out of the gate, that's what's happening in the NFL. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk is on Twitter at Pro Football Talk. He's on The Score hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Is it the circus we expected, Mike?
So far, yeah. And it is so depressing as an American citizen to witness this display of the functioning or dysfunctioning of our political system. It's like two different languages, two different planets, when it's Democrat speaking or Republican speaking. And that's taking the political persuasion out of it. They can't even agree on a basic set of ground rules, why they're even there. It is just so depressing that this is what we've come to, but it's a microcosm of what we have come to. And through all of this, some way, somehow, some positive change hopefully will be affected for workplaces throughout the country. That's what this is all about, making the NFL an example of what should be done in every other workplace that is far less prominent and publicly viable than the NFL.
Mike, who's running the Washington Commanders?
You know, that's a great question. If you ask Roger Goodell, up until today, he would say that Tonya Snyder, the co-CEO and the spouse of Daniel Snyder, is responsible for day-to-day operations and representing the team at league meetings, and that Daniel Snyder is involved with stadium efforts and other matters. Today, in his prepared remarks that he read word for word at the outset of his testimony, Goodell added the important caveat, to the best of my knowledge, as it relates to day-to-day operations, because right after he said in March that Daniel Snyder has yet to resume day-to-day operations, the Washington Times reported, oh no, wait a minute, Clarence, he has indeed resumed his day-to-day operations, and the NFL never had any comment about that. Well, you know, I'd love to know, what did the NFL do in response to that? What investigation was done to see if he really had resumed day-to-day operations? But I think the last thing the NFL wants to do is expose to itself and to the rest of us that Snyder is essentially giving the league the middle finger, because they just don't want to deal with him. They know that pushing him out is going to be a battle royale of proportions they have never witnessed before, that he will sue everyone and anyone repeatedly and never go away, like somebody else who used to live in Washington and who aspires to live there again.
I've been trying to figure out, like, when it comes to the Washington organization and the other NFL owners, because obviously not a lot can happen unless those owners are on board, how do they feel about Snyder?
He is extremely unpopular, but they recognize if they go after him, this is my assessment, this is my opinion based on 21 years of doing this. If they go after him, they better be ready to take him out, and he will fight, and he will fight, and he will air out dirty laundry. And during his 23 years of owning the Washington franchise. He has learned a few things. And I think that, frankly, there's a chance, and I know there are people who believe that the John Gruden emails were leaked not by the league, but by Snyder himself, who clearly is among the few who had access to them. That may have been a warning shot at anybody inclined to mess with Daniel Snyder moving forward. Whatever I got will make its way out to the public eye, and it's going to cause problems for you. And bigger picture, I think the NFL has been treading lightly with Snyder to protect the other owners, because if you can establish a pathway to forcing an owner out as a result of an investigation sparked by an employee complaint, that becomes a blueprint for other employees to make complaints that spark a 10-month investigation, and nobody wants to be audited. Start looking under stones, you may find that magic bullet that takes out an owner. And I think plenty of other owners are just worried about a precedent that would be set from using this as that template for forcing an owner to sell his team.
Well, you know what they should be doing is a lot of these people not worrying about an employee here or there, but they should be looking at their minority partners. From my observation, and this is, you can assess the validity of this observation, when you look at how the timing of these stories from the Washington Post specifically has come out, I would venture to speculate that multiple things can be true here. One, Daniel Snyder is awful. He's absolutely awful. And all, and this stuff is true. I also think we've got an old-fashioned Washington game going on here, where now political muscle and media influence is being wielded from inside that building. And I'm not saying he's being railroaded. I'm not saying it's really unfair. But clearly, this is what's happening here, and this is just kind of old-fashioned Washington gamesmanship.
That's quite possible, and I know a lot of the litigation that happened a year or two ago, it was, I believe, the manifestation of a bigger effort by his limited partners to try to find someone who would buy their shares or force him out so they could sell their shares, because they couldn't sell their shares to somebody who would end up doing business with Daniel Snyder, and Snyder ended up just buying them out. But, you know, the thing about this to remember, and whoever it was who leaked the John Gruden emails, whether it was Snyder or someone else, that's what sparked what Congress is currently doing. They had gotten away with this ridiculous idea that every fact finding and recommendation must be made secret because we have promised anonymity to some of the current or former employees who participated, instead of just changing their names and protecting them that way, like every other investigation does. We're going to put everything under the rug here. They had gotten away with it until the Gruden thing happened. And I think in the aftermath of what happened with Gruden, where there was a perception of injustice, not in the result, because he was unfit to continue after those emails came out, but the idea that someone weaponized those documents, I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back for Congress and got them to become very curious about what else the NFL was hiding, and to prevent anyone ultimately from selectively leaking this document or that document to take someone out in the future. Let's just let it all out there in the open. Let's see what all's there. Let's get to the bottom of this, and that's what the past several months have been all about.
Mike, what was your reaction to the news of the 20 of the 24 lawsuits against Deshaun Watson being settled?
Well, it was about time, because I believed at the outset, when we first heard about this, when I became aware of the circumstances that resulted in the first lawsuit being filed, basically Tony Busby contacting Deshaun Watson's camp, requesting $100,000 as an initial offer in negotiations on behalf of Ashley Solis. That to me is a clue that it could have settled between $50,000 and $75,000. Instead, they offered nothing. They basically wanted him to bid against himself, which is a cardinal sin in negotiation among lawyers. So they pissed him off. He started looking for other clients. He found more clients, and the next thing you know, there's 24 lawsuits. They've had multiple opportunities in the past to settle all or some of these cases. As of last week, Deshaun Watson was creating the impression that he planned to fight these. Fortunately for him, someone convinced him that this is not going to end well. You are not going to clear your name. You're not going to win 24 cases, 26 cases, however many cases. It's impossible to win every single one of these. It's a crapshoot each time you go to a civil jury. The smart thing to do was settle the cases. The only problem is, I'm sure he's spending a lot more now than he would have spent if he had just, number one, settled the Ashley Solis case and maybe not unlocked this tidal wave of lawsuits, or number two, settled it last April when they had it done, but Watson's people wanted no confidentiality language, so basically they could tell everyone how little they paid to make these cases go away.
Do you think that that means that we're closer to punishment now?
I think it does. I think what it does, as a practical matter, most importantly, it tamps down the possibility of paid leave hitting the table again. The commissioner took paid leave off the table in March, but it just felt over the past 4 weeks with the HBO feature, two more lawsuits, the New York Times article, the unfortunate remarks from Rusty Harden about there's no crime in trying to finagle a happy ending at the conclusion of Massage. It just created a sense that it was all falling apart. And there have been voices in the league office that have been saying he should not play at all until these cases are resolved. If you wipe away 20 of the cases in one fell swoop and there's only four left, I think it really does minimize or at least reduce the possibility that he would end up on paid leave. But you still got four cases. And there still could be more. Just last week, Tony Busby said there's two more that will be filed. And in a statement he issued after Deshaun Watson did a press conference, Busby hinted that there could be even more beyond that. So all this means is 20 cases are settled. But from the league's perspective, I think it allows the focus to return to whatever punishment is going to be imposed, not this possibility that they just put him on paid leave until all the cases go away and then figure out what kind of discipline should be imposed.
What do you make of the circumstances around the latest Rob Gronkowski retirement?
Well, I think Gronk, who is, look, I think he likes to play that Sonny Bono, Terry Bradshaw, it pays well to act stupid card. I think he's smarter than he acts, and I think he knows that he can't come out and say what he's really thinking. And I think what he's thinking is, if you're going to pay me $8, $9, or $10 million, well, I'm not showing up for training camp. I'm not doing the whole grind. Maybe I'll feel like playing in November or December or whenever, but I think for anything less than $15 million, he's not getting out of bed until we get to crunch time in football season. And when his agent comes out and says, I don't believe him, that's unprecedented.
Yeah.
But Drew Rosenhaus basically came out and said, yeah, he's retired, but I don't believe it. I believe he'll be back either this year or next year. That's what really resonated with me, next year. Because you know what's going to happen next year? Tom Brady's going to be playing for somebody else next year. And that may be the magnet that gets Gronk to sign on for an opportunity to win a Super Bowl with a third different team.
I like what you say about him actually being smarter than sort of the Gronk character. And I've come to agree with that. And the primary reason is he's legitimately funny and a pretty good actor. And it's really hard to have a sense of comic timing and to know the bit, sort of like Shaq has proven over time, where you can't be stupid and be as good of an actor and a pitch man as he is already this early in his career of doing that.
Before you come to a final conclusion on whether he's funny, go to YouTube and look up the routine that he did for the roast of David Ortiz that they ultimately couldn't televise because Gronk and others said some things that were highly inappropriate. And then ask yourself how funny he really is. I don't know how funny he is, but I do think the big, dumb, idiot, doofus thing is an act. I don't think he's that dumb. I just think he knows it's good for him to act that way, and it creates all sorts of revenue potential to just go be himself. Just go be Gronk. Gronk on a cruise. Gronk at a nightclub. Gronk here, Gronk there, and money falls out of the sky.
What's the latest with Baker Mayfield, and what can happen with Baker Mayfield?
Well, you know, like anything else in the NFL and in most lines of business where you have negotiations and transactions, the deadline is what drives it, and I suspect the start of training camp is where everyone is targeting some sort of resolution here, although I think the sooner it gets done, the better. I think it's helpful to Baker Mayfield to know where he's going to be so he can, you know, move to that town and get the playbook and start getting himself ready mentally and physically for what's coming. But this all comes down to how much the Browns are going to pay as part of Baker Mayfield's salary when he's with a new team. And right now, I've seen multiple reports suggesting the Browns will pay half. What isn't said in those reports is what are the Browns getting? Because I think there's a sliding scale that comes into play by way of the draft pick you get. The lower the pick, the more money that you pay. The higher the pick, Well, wait, the lower the pick, the less money you pay. The higher the pick, the more money that you pay if you're the Browns. So that's a big part of this, and they just haven't been able to get the planets to line up. But the Panthers are the one team that I think continues to be at the forefront of these conversations, which tells you what you need to know about what they think of Sam Darnold. But the longer this lingers, you know, like anything else, other teams could swoop in. And I've been trying to speak a trade to the Lions into existence, but it hasn't worked yet. I just think he would be perfect for what Dan Campbell and company are trying to do up there. So much better suited to the mindset of that team right now than Jared Goff. But we'll see. He's been a good soldier this offseason, but at some point he's going to start agitating, because this isn't just about the money he's due to make this year and his money's guaranteed. This is about getting himself into a position where he can go play and establish himself, so when he becomes a free agent in March, he will be a guy who is in demand.
Saw that Larry Ogunjobi signed a one-year deal with the Steelers, and after all that we went through here with the mishap, however it went down, whoever screwed that up from the Chicago Bears' perspective or the timing of the medicals, what's the significance of the fact that he is actually going to be in the league next year?
Well, look, the guy is a good player. And there were issues with the foot, and it fell apart, and it was a delay, and he's going to get far less money than he would have gotten. But yeah, the Steelers are just kind of quietly putting together a team that has the potential to be pretty good. And it will be awkward when Ogunjobi and Mason Rudolph get together, because Ogunjobi came in after Rudolph got hit over the head with his own helmet and was complaining to officials. Ogunjobi shows up and shoves him to the ground. So a little awkward when they get together for the first time, assuming Mason Rudolph's even on the team when training camp rolls around, which may not be a guarantee either.
Let me go back to how we started this conversation. Mike, do you think that these trips to Congress are valuable?
Well, they're potentially valuable, and people ask all the time, why is Congress involved in this? And look, the NFL benefits from a broadcast antitrust exemption created by Congress in 1961, so it can sell the rights of its broadcasts collectively and not be in a situation where the Cowboys are getting $10 billion a year for their home games and the Jaguars are getting $10 million a year for their home games. So the NFL benefits from that. And the NFL currently is the one thing that can draw 20, 30, 40 million people together at the same time to watch the same thing. Look at how fractured the audience is. We never watch anything at the same time anymore other than sporting events and specifically pro football. So somebody's got to have jurisdiction to hold the NFL accountable when it does things that just don't pass the smell test. Jerry Jones, appearing on Bob Costas' show last November, said, "We have to welcome the scrutiny. If we want everyone to pay attention to what we do, we have to welcome the scrutiny." And I think it's fair, because sometimes you just get to a point where the other available avenues aren't getting us what we deserve. And I think the taxpayers who fund the stadiums, I didn't even mention that, all of the publicly funded stadiums out there, so many benefits that flow to the NFL, when they do something that we just look at and say, that doesn't make sense, it's good that we have a public body that can hold their feet to the fire and try to get to the truth.
I just saw this cross, and I want to close with it. Do you see the Patriots are bringing back the old school red uniforms and the helmets with Pat the Patriot on there? How sweet.
Awesome. Yeah, well, you know, there had been something about the red jersey coming back, and it's like, well, that red jersey's not coming back if the white helmet isn't coming back, so that's awesome.
Yep, little Steve Grogan, little Stanley Morgan, Sam the Bam Cunningham, and always the whatever the last jacket was on the rack that fall at Style Shop in Highland Park, my mother would buy it, and it's why I would end up with a St. Louis Cardinals jacket or the woebegone Patriots jacket when everybody else had their Bears or Cowboys or Steelers stuff. But hey, man, that's all right. I liked it.
Hey, where I grew up, you couldn't even find anything if it wasn't Steelers. You had to order it in the Sears catalog and wait for like 8 weeks for it to show up.
Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is coming down the street. Oh, please let it be for me. Mike Florio, thanks as always.
See you guys.
That's Mike Florio, who always has football stuff for us, and he's going to get back to making himself miserable watching these hearings.
This from Gronk. He said in a statement, "It's been an honor and a privilege to be with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers." Wait, I just lost it. Dang it. And he said he doesn't know what's next, but maybe it's sailing. And then said, "Arr," afterwards.
Yarr!
Because he's Gronk. Do you? Because I find myself, and like even when it broke yesterday, I was telling you, I don't know. I feel like what Mike said is on point. That guys have figured out, guys of this level of value have figured out, I don't want to do all the stuff. I just want to play. And I'm good enough. I'm smart enough to be able, and I know what Tom wants to do. I can pick all this up in September and let's roll. And I can play myself into shape for when it matters in November and December. If that's what he's doing, I'm here for it. And I agree with you and with Florio. I think this is a guy that leans into dumb jock because it opens doors where he gets to make something for himself.
Have you seen the Manscaped commercials?
Yes. Hilarious.
With his girlfriend? They're hilarious.
Hilarious.
They're really good. Whoever decided that we're going to get him to do this and he's willing to do it and his girlfriend is willing to help out, I think it's awesome. There is a new smartest member of the Chicago Bears organization.
And it's Dan Bernstein.
They haven't hired me yet. No, and when I read the credentials of this guy, you know that that ain't happened. No one is. Good luck approaching him. Maybe one of the smartest people working anywhere in the NFL, and the Chicago Bears now have him. We will debate the relative meaning of this hire next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
We're heading the right direction. I got a really good group in staff. A lot of you have probably read up on Ian. He's been a huge part for me, only because getting pulled in so many different directions, that's very new to me. Having him out in front and working with our staff, if I get pulled out of a meeting, he keeps the ball rolling, keeps a list of players that I need to get caught up on, but all systems are always moving and we don't get stalled out for all the things that are going on.
Sounds like sort of an executive or associate producer, Ryan Poles, where the media say, hey, you should check this out. You should look at this. Make sure you know this and come and listen to this before you go back in there kind of thing. Got to have those guys. Got to trust those guys. But Ryan Poles was talking about Ian Cunningham. That's the Bears general manager, Ryan Poles.
He welcomed a new name to the organization amidst a flurry of hires. A lot of them were scouts and people on the football side at various levels. But there's a new title that is manned by a new bear. The title is Director of Football Analytics. The person he hired is Krithi Chandrakasan, who was the Chiefs' senior data scientist.
So someone he knows from that organization.
And Krithi Chandrakasan, Chandrakasan, right? I think I have that right. Chandrakasan. I want to make sure I get it right. Has a degree in economics from Harvard.
Okay, Harvard.
And got his Bachelor of Science degree in Mechanical Engineering and Economics from MIT. With a concentration in Electrical Engineering and Computer Science. So, a lot of teams say, just get me a smart guy and we'll give him an office. And
he'll crunch the numbers.
Things.
Other and a computer.
Other teams know what this hire is and what it does and give him or her the power to hire other people. So I think this is fascinating considering how the Bears have decided to fill out their coaching staff.
Okay.
You're laughing already.
Well, it's just, why does it have to be an indictment on Matt Eberflus?
It's not.
That they hired a smart guy in the front office.
I find it interesting. I find the idea of a coachy coordinator guy with his acronym and his system of hitting people and running fast in track shoes. And if it would be a really cool story if he was a part of this, and if he's like, by all means, I want to know the latest numbers, and if this guy says, never kick a field goal, never, ever, ever punt, don't even have a punter on the roster, here's what it says of when to go for it and why to go for it, all old school football stuff be damned, that'd be awesome. I think it'd be great. I do think it's reasonable to wonder about inherent conflict between a data-driven approach and an old-school football.
But how do you know that there's going to be conflict?
I don't.
Maybe Matt Eberflus is coachman, but he's open to, because this is his first time getting an opportunity to be a head coach, on all the data. Like, this is what's supposed to happen. You're supposed to have people in positions like that that make you better and stronger because they're giving you the information. The idea of the head coach or the manager is that that person is going to know what human factors will go into the decisions that are made. Yep. With the numbers and data that are given to you. What it feels like you're saying to me is that, judging off of a couple of press conferences, you're not confident that Matt Eberflus is going to be capable of distilling the data into decision-making.
I don't think it's his job to distill it. I think it's his job to give it its proper due and to appreciate it. And we know how this dance goes. We know whether it's been our experience with Joe Madden talking about his card in his pocket. I got a card full of analytics. I got analytics out the hoo-ah. I got more analytics. And that some of these long-learned football instincts do fly in the face of it. And how often do we have to see where a bunt work, quote-unquote, works? Last night.
There was some awful bunting last night by the Blue Jays. Like, terrible.
Look at what's happening with a two-point shot in basketball. Look what's happening with the bunt. We know how this works. We know how this dance is done. And I just think it's fair to wonder if the Bears may be putting themselves in the middle of this in that way. And how does the data get to where it has to go? And sometimes something is a file, a binder is dropped on a manager's desk or a coach's desk and says, here's everything we know about what should be done. And that manager or coach says, I don't need your stinking book knowledge.
Yes, but I don't think that Matt Eberflus is in a position to do that.
Hmm.
Whereas if we if we juxtapose that, since I did bring up manager, Tony La Russa is in a position to go, I mean, it's great that you guys did this for me.
I'm too drunk to understand this.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that he at least has all of his own background and data for however valuable you think that is. And he has the strength inside the organization to kind of ignore things. Like if we were doing a flow chart, the flow chart would say
Jerry, Tony, everybody else in the organization.
No. I mean, that's what it, but if it were just a regular baseball organization, it would say Jerry, Kenny, Rick, Tony.
Right.
He can go above and beyond that because he's Tony La Russa.
Huh?
Yes, you, sir. Matt Eberflus doesn't have that. So the idea that he would jump the hierarchy, I don't think is great career strategy for Matt Eberflus, who's fought for 25 years to get to this point.
Well,
and doesn't, like, he doesn't have, like, even if you were look at a guy like Ron Rivera has a player resume inside of old school. And he can, well, look, I was part of an organization that did things this way. And he could fall back on that. I've had success as a head coach doing it this way until he didn't. And then he became Riverboat Ron. And Riverboat Ron is kind of a character because really he just was kind of doing what you're supposed to do in some of those situations.
Well, but there's also the YOLO factor where if you're Matt Eberflus and you have a problem with and I'm using this as an extreme example.
Yes.
But it basically, if you're being told, hey, we're not going to have a punter on the roster. And this is just my hyperbolic argument.
Fantasy?
Here. Yes. If your data science department says we don't punt anymore. We just don't do it. We're not going to. It's a waste of a roster spot. It's bad math. So we're just not going to do it anymore. This is how we're going to win games. And for him to go against that, or for him to say when to go for it, when not to go for it, somebody said, like, I'm not going out like that. I don't know how many chances I'm going to get to be a head coach in this league, and I've got well-honed football instincts that tell me this stuff is horse crap, and I'm not going to believe any of it.
But that was last year. That's a coach that's at the end, not a coach that's at the beginning. A coach that's at the beginning, I think, is going to be more likely to listen to the person that hired him.
But then if it doesn't work, somehow you're gonna get a story that's going to come out, and it's going to be sources close to Matt Eberflus say, well, they wanted me to do it, so I guess this is what we're doing, say sources close to Bears head coach Matt Eberflus.
Well, then,
you know how this works.
I do, and then I'll hear Tony Romo say on the CBS broadcast that it's Eberflus's fault, and the front office is doing everything they can to make him an effective coach. I just think that you've already skipped ahead to the part where Matt Eberflus doesn't want to do data, and we don't know that that is the case.
I know.
So allow the man a little bit of room to do his job and be the person who interprets the data and then figures out how and when to use it.
You know, we play on the hits principle.
Oh, God. You're not helping my case for you, Matt Eberflus.
Okay, I just don't know if it meshes, if it can work. So we'll see.
We're not going to tolerate that here at the Bears.
Great. When we come back, it is time for High Noon. I have been waiting for this day for weeks. I previewed this announcement weeks ago. I'm actually very excited about it, and I want the record show to reflect that I will be a part of this effort live on the air if people want me to.
Okay. I have the coach that I most want to play for being his absolute coachiest coaches.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, the score, 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 score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey in Station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
Time for high noon. Lock it in. Get used to it. It's here to stay. It's back. Better than ever, and it was always the best of these segments of its kind. I don't know, they're all the same, and we get you updated to what we started out talking about. We did a hard hour of baseball celebrating the White Sox regressing to the mean, for lack of a better term. Dylan Cease doing what Michael Kopech didn't do against the Blue Jays on a strange night, a weird fun broadcast, a great ending. I actually praised Tony La Russa's handling of his roster for the most part last night. I didn't share any fire Tony moments. I was happy that Leury García, injured or not, was there on the very, very last man at the very end of a bench of a raggedy game like that. And our own Mike Rankin was observing a new White Sox hitting habit that might just be a good one.
And Dan worried about smart people joining the Bears and the effect that it's going to have on a guy that he doesn't know.
It's not so much worrying about smart people joining the Bears, it's worrying about how he's going to be received by by people who had already been hired by the Bears. But hey, clean slate, starting fresh.
By the way, before you start high noon, tell people what's going to come up at noon.
NBA, who's your guy?
We haven't done it, but we're doing it. Yeah. So if the NBA draft is tomorrow and we got you covered, well, who's your guy? But first,
two segments.
I am a Mike Tomlin stan. Sure, he looks like Omar Epps, and that's part of the reason that I'm a Mike Tomlin stan. There's some people who they hit you the right way as far as your makeup and what you need. I know the type of baseball manager I would want. I know the type of basketball coach I would want, and the type of football coach that I would want is Mike Tomlin.
I love coaches that resist the responsibility of coaches, that talk negatively about a dude that can't learn and blah, blah. Man, if everybody could learn, we need less coaches.
Yeah, that's real.
Right? If the group didn't need management, then we wouldn't make as much.
Yep.
I love reading draft evals and somebody's talking about anything other than pedigree, talking about how poor somebody's hand usage is. Well, that's coaching. Right. Mm. I don't run away from coaching. I run to coaching.
Love it.
It all is in line with that not seeking comfort. Because when you're a coach that's talking about somebody can't learn, you're seeking comfort because your teaching is struggling.
Get me a vial of that and pump it into my veins. I love the idea of a coach being like, your guy stinks because you haven't done enough to make that player better.
That's you as a teacher talking.
100%. 100%. And that's from the Pivot podcast, stuff that Ryan Clark and those guys do. But I just love him. And I can see why he's been so successful and why he's the type of guy that is able to get the most out of what has frankly been a bad roster the last few years. And I can't, like, that's who you want to play for right there. That guy wants to make you better and is invested in wanting to make you better.
Today was a big day, and I had previewed this several weeks ago.
The Illinois Department of Natural Resources, combined with the help of chefs and food experts from around the state and specifically the Chicago area, has today launched the rebrand of Big Head Carp, Silver Carp, Grass Carp, and Black Carp that have been known generically as invasive Asian carp. They are no longer known as Asian carp. They are now known as a group as the fish Copi. C-O-P-I is the name of that fish. And I've learned a lot about it as I've been reading about this. Because, you know, I've been a theme of these segments over the years for me has been alternative protein sources and clean and environmentally friendly and healthy protein sources that I think could go a long way to helping us deal with climate change, to helping us deal with food insecurity. One, I think, is the consumption of insects, which other cultures have understood for thousands of years and ours just hasn't and should. The other thing, this fish is when you actually look at the science behind it and some of the misconceptions that I had about it, I can't wait to try this. I can't wait. Even though it's technically a carp, they're not bottom feeders. Freshwater, top feeding, wild caught fish that is more savory than tilapia, cleaner tasting than catfish, and less flaky than cod. It is also high in omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids. It is second only to wild caught salmon in protein, top feeding plankton eater, so essentially no mercury and no lead. So I'm down. I am absolutely down for this. And the renaming also does a lot of things because they also felt that just calling it Asian carp, invasive Asian carp, was racist. And to move away from that is inherently good. And these deals are in place to begin serving Copi on menus in various forms. Right here in Chicago, you can go to Ina May Tavern. You can go to Max's Deli in Skokie. You can go to Sushi Grove in Buffalo Grove. You can go to Kubo Sushi and Sake Lounge in Elgin, Gaijin on Lake Street in Chicago, the Norwegian in Rockford. If you want to just go pick some up, you can go to Dirk's on Clybourne. You know exactly where that is, Dirk's Fish. How about this? Calumet, 3259 East 95th.
Get out of here.
Calumet Fisheries is going to be smoking up big chunks of Copi. I am putting this out there. If you bring me some, I will try it on the air. I will give you that taste, especially from Calumet. Because if you feel like bringing some shrimp or some stuff by two, I have a feeling that might get eaten.
Yeah.
Is that it? Or some smelts or whatever they got.
How about we do that outside of the studio, Dan?
All right. Or we can go down. I'd take a show trip down there.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, perhaps a sealed environment isn't the best place to be doing fish tasting.
Hey, we've done it before. We've had breakfast fish in here. We've had all kinds of stuff in here, and I'm willing to do it. But it's a wonderful idea. I'm always down for something like this. If it worked for the Patagonian toothfish, and if it worked for various fruits and vegetables, it just needed a rebrand, just needed a name change, and it's plentiful, it's inexpensive, it's healthy. And I'm going to tell you, if it's coming out of the smoke room at Calumet, it's going to be damn delicious.
You sound like Bubba. This headline grabbed...
Wait, Bubba who?
From Forrest Gump.
Oh. Bubba Blue.
They got shrimp and you got fried shrimp. That's what you sound like talking about this.
Hey, I'm passionate about alternative proteins, especially from this state.
Well, there's alternative health state things that are available for folks now. And headline reads... MLB approves CBD sponsorships in landmark change for sports leagues. MLB teams are now free to sell CBD sponsorships, a development likely to echo across the industry and open new sponsorship categories in pro sports. League officials told team marketers in a conference call yesterday that CBDs are henceforth, quote unquote, approved category, as long as they are certified by testing organization NSF, to not have psychoactive levels of THC.
Why? What's wrong with psychoactive levels of THC?
NASCAR and the major pro stick and ball games in North America previously prohibited CBD sponsorships largely due to the stigma associated with psychoactive cannabis, aka marijuana. MLB is looking to grab a piece of the growing CBD market in the U.S. It's unknown at this time what MLB teams or league could get for a CBD deal. Can I be cynical, Lawrence, for a second? It would seem that there is one category that is going away from all sports marketing.
Would that be cryptocurrency?
And perhaps, perhaps.
We got it in a problem.
After naming your stadiums and stuff after this.
Look, I've always said it. As soon as you see a stadium name deal, short the company. But that is a sign of end stage corporate hubris.
And maybe the people in the sports league are like, we need to find a new revenue stream. Let's go with the cannabis. Trevor Lawrence took his signing bonus in cryptocurrency.
And didn't convert it to actual money. Like, taking it in cryptocurrency and
fine.
Riding it a little ways, however you want. But you then have to actually, you know, make it real.
He's lost like $16 million.
Oh, who would have seen that coming? Who could possibly have seen anything like that coming? I'm surprised he didn't invest it in Bored Ape Yacht Club NFTs.
He invested all of his money in Urban Meyer's grill.
Anyway, like I was saying, shrimp is the fruit of the sea.
This guy right here.
When we come back, we are going to play NBA Draft Who's Your Guy? 312-644-6767. We'll ask, you'll answer, and then we'll learn about peeps. Next on Burstein and Holmes on The Score.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.